Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night, episode 164, recorded August 17th, 2010. Duck, duck, go. This episode of Net at Night is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to www.night.hover.com. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. Welcome to another episode of Net at Night. I'm Sarah Lane in Petaluma, California.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
How's Toronto today, Amber?
It's warm. It's been warm here all the summer. It's very steamy and very humid. And I like summer. I mean, I appreciate the warm weather because we obviously have a very long winter. But the reality is I'm kind of excited about fall. I sort of enjoy that season. I may regret saying this, but I'm kind of done with the humidity.
Well, you know, it's funny. Everyone, I guess Toronto is, do you guys call yourself the East Coast when you say it's east to me?
Do.
But it's not the coast.
Not the East Coast.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Of the eastern major cities here in North America, I know that this has been a particularly warm summer, very steamy. Here, at least in the San Francisco area, we've had a really mild summer. I mean, San Francisco has been encased in fog for weeks now. But San Francisco is never really very warm in the summer. It's just not our warm season. But even in Petaluma, I mean, it could be 100 degrees today. It's been really nice for the last month or so. And sometimes August can be really brutal. Yeah, so warm in some places and not warm in other places.
Not so. Yeah, what do you like the warm weather, Sarah? Or?
I like 75 is my ideal temperature with little to no humidity. That's my kind of weather. I like shorts optional. I don't like to feel like I need to wear shorts and tank top because I'll be too hot otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not
into
shorts.
That's kind of the way I go. Yeah. You know, just for a variety of reasons. You know, I'm a nice Irish girl and I'm proud of it, but sometimes I just don't feel like rocking the not very many clothes look because I'll just blind people. That's the way it goes.
I hear ya.
Do you? So, Amber, we've got a couple of guests. We've got a few guests, actually. We've got Bruce, who's visiting from Tampa. He's here in the studio. He's going to watch the show. We also have a couple of traveling folks, Alex and Luke of alexandluke.com. And, Amber, you are already familiar with Alex and Luke from their travels. How did you come across these guys?
Well, it's kind of funny because I think the last time I saw them, we were doing a Skype video interview. I do a live TV show in Toronto on Wednesday nights. It's a tech show. And we had them on the show. So we had a great chat. I'm not sure where you guys were. I want to say Pittsburgh, maybe.
I think Pennsylvania, but not, we were in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, in the middle of nowhere. but came across their story, and it's such a cool idea. They're basically going around using social media to kind of inspire their next stay on their big trip across Canada and the U.S. And I should probably turn it over to you guys. And you made it all the way to Petaluma, so congratulations.
So you're on day 149, is that correct, of this big trip? What is the big trip, in a nutshell, for anybody who's just familiarizing themselves with you now?
So we left Toronto, Ontario on March 20th with zero route, and every direction that we travel or person that we meet or thing that we do is driven from Twitter or votes on our website.
Everything?
Pretty
it's
much.
Never what you're in the mood for?
As much as we can, we try to take suggestions on social media, Twitter, Facebook.
So where was the first place that you went when you left Toronto?
We drove north to a little place called Wasaga Beach. Not sure if you know Wasaga Beach, it's a beach town in northern Ontario.
And that was somebody that directed you there?
We were voted north so that I could go on my very first chairlift.
And how was it?
I did it. The chairlift was good. The snowboarding down the mountain wasn't so good, but I'll try it again.
Yeah, we used Twitter hashtags. So we had three hashtags, and the one that was retweeted the most was the direction we went. So north was retweeted, I think, 30 times more than south, and that's why we went north.
That's such a cool idea. I mean, do you ever feel as though, obviously, when you're planning a trip like this, to be able to have someone sort of vote you in the next direction is probably kind of a relief half the time, because otherwise, how are you going to choose?
Yeah, for me, I hate making decisions, so it's really great to put it up to everybody else. And honestly, it works. People generally put you in the right direction and send you to the good restaurants and where you can get fresh, affordable things. And it's just, it makes you not have to make decisions for yourself, which is good when every decision that's made for you turns out really great.
And go ahead, Amber.
I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned that most of the time it works out well, but I sort of have to pick up on that. Has there been a time yet where all of a sudden someone sent you in the wrong direction and you just ended up in an awful place?
Not so much. Food's usually really good. We've been to a couple weird parties. We were at a really weird party recently, which we could probably do without. And sometimes when we stay at strangers' house, it gets pretty weird. One time we were driving through Rhode Island and all the streets were named like Killing Me Road and Blood Spill Lane.
What?
We were
really?
Not that bad. It wasn't quite so scary.
That. But we were saying it was the first time we'd ever stayed with a complete stranger. We do it from time to time if we meet them online. And it was a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Now, so you're obviously staying in hotels part of the time. I watched your most recent podcast and you were in Vegas, and sorry about your illness.
Thank you.
Luke, I'm glad you're feeling better. But so you're staying with strangers. Do you kind of just feel them out and think, this is probably going to be okay? Because that can be a real crapshoot, right?
Yeah, it can be. Usually if they have some kind of online presence, it helps, because chances are they haven't established a company with a website and a blog online with the idea of luring to Twitter-powered road trippers to their house one day. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they have that all out kind of out there themselves, then they're probably like us.
But we've received emails and the people have no online presence, and then it's too frightening. So because you just don't know
what the motivations are, which is, I mean, that can go for anybody you meet online, but mm-hmm. certainly sleeping on their couch would be something that you'd really want to feel comfortable with.
It's true.
Yeah, some people lie about how good their couch is. And that's true.
So where are you going to go next after Petaluma?
We don't know. We're here and we literally don't know where we're going to go. We're going to put it out on Twitter after whether we should hit San Francisco, or some people have said Berkeley as well. Maybe we go north. Who knows? I think there's a lot of things to do in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I live. And so that's my vote. If I can vote along. Yeah, it's
We'd
a great
love
city.
To. It's a bit pricey there. And Priceline and Travelocity don't work as well, it seems, in San Francisco, but we'll make something happen.
We'll figure it out. And then from a statewide, we don't know whether we're going to Oregon or Hawaii next, but we don't know how we'll get to Hawaii. So that's kind of a question mark.
Because up till now, it's all been the road trip, correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be if you figured out a way to get to Hawaii kind of thing.
Well, if there's anyone with a barge watching that would put our car on, that would solve our problem really well. But I'm not sure what would happen.
Ideal. There's also the same problem when we want to go up to Nunavut, which is a territory in Canada. Mm-hmm. You can't drive there. So we'll have that problem again. We're hoping to go to everyone. We're just kind of hopeful that it'll figure itself out.
Amazing. So when will you be finished your road trip?
Well, we're being kicked out of the States on October 18th because we're Canadian, and we have to leave by October 18th for our
six
health
months, trip. Right?
Yes, exactly. And then we don't know how long it will take us to go through Yellowknife and all through the territories of Canada and eventually back to Toronto, probably around November.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty good trip. Well, guys, let people know where they can go and vote and follow along with what you're doing.
Yeah, they can go to alexandluke.com for all the information. And we have our Twitter account. It's Alex and Luke, just at Alex and Luke. And Facebook is connected all through the main page on the website. You can see all the videos there.
Yeah, there are huge buttons. If you can't see the buttons, just go to alexandluke.com, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Gowalla, everything's there.
Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us. I know you're going to stay for the whole show. So maybe afterwards, maybe we should hop on with them, Sarah, and take off. And
we have one extra seat.
You do have a seat.
Really?
Even if you want to go
Don't
for a
tempt
day.
Me.
We've had some people from the CBC come with us. Yeah. So
that's so cool.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, yeah, thanks so much. Great trip. I mean, it's very inspiring. I love stories like this, and it sounds like you guys are having a really good time.
Thank you.
And even the not as good times are still really good stories later on.
Very good stories.
Like the Rhode Island Bloodsport neighborhood.
Good times.
So yeah, sorry our room is small, but I'll just turn off your mic. So we'll cut down on the room noise and enjoy the rest of the show. And thanks for being with us, guys. alexandluke.com. So Amber, What else is going on the net? Has anything happened in the last week?
Well, Sarah, a lot has happened. And, you know, I always pick up on strange things. And it was funny. I was reading this article. I think it was on TechCrunch. And it mentioned how Bill Cosby was trying to get an invite to the new dig. And he was asking Kevin if he could get on. And it just reminded me of the show last week when we had Kevin on. And then I did a little bit of digging further and found out that Bill Cosby is very active in the social media space. I mean, he's using 12 seconds. He's using at least a half a dozen social media websites. And he also has his own iPhone app that you can check out, and you can get lots of video content from him. I just thought it was an interesting conversation because I see more and more people having personal apps, and this reminded me of just this growing trend that's happening online. It's not enough anymore necessarily just to have a website. I know apps have been around forever, but the idea that you as a personality have your own application where people can consume all of your content from all these different sites. And Sarah, I think we need our own apps.
I do too. I absolutely want my own app. I didn't realize that Bill Cosby was contacting Kevin and the folks over at Dig about getting into the new Dig, but that's got to be blowing their mind. That's just, you know,
it's just
I was a little kid watching the Cosby Show at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights.
I know. That's what I was thinking when I read it. And then, so I kind of verified it. I went to Kevin's site and noticed he had written back and said, we'll get you an invite. And
yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's going to get one. And I'm just thinking, like, what a strange world we live in. You know, all of these tools that used to be very sort of tight-knit communities, you really would only get some of the, you know, early adopter geeks on them, all of a sudden have blown up. And then, you know, when I see a Bill Cosby jump on board, then I think, wow, it's really exploded and gone mainstream.
I can't help but recall that very recently, it wasn't the first time this had been a rumor, but there was a rumor that spread like wildfire that Bill Cosby had died. And then Bill Cosby, and it became a trending topic. And so everyone was talking about, why is this happening? Then Bill Cosby himself tweeted, hey, I'm not dead, but I do want to take this opportunity to let you know that I have an iPad or iPhone app coming out. Could the two be related?
It's possible.
It is possible, isn't it? I'm not saying that's the way it happened, but it would be a pretty good time, if there was any, to promote something via Twitter, if everyone was hitting your site to see what the next thing you would say was.
If there was a rumor. Prove that you keep, you're churning out lots of content and you're alive and kicking.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he's taking advantage of that. And I guess on his website, he has a little section where he says, yes, it is me tweeting and sending out messages. And I just thought, you know, it's kind of a fun story. It just shows us how far we've come with all of these different social tools. And I can't imagine what's next. You know, what's going to happen a couple of years down the road in the whole online space?
Personal branding has really got to a next level. And kudos to Bill Cosby for being one of the first folks. I mean, the only other app that I have that's associated with someone directly is the Nine Inch Nails app. And that's even more of just the band app, more than like a Trent Reznor personal app, although that's why I downloaded it because I really like him. But go Bill Cosby.
Way to be
on the forefront of this.
Yeah, it's just a start of, I think, many more personal apps that we'll see. And Sarah, I don't know, I think you're a Tumblr user.
Oh, yes. I love the Tumblr. Yes.
Okay. So you probably saw this headline, but they've just come out with an Android app. And for people who love Tumblr, it allows you to easily post quick little snippets of content to the web. A very different kind of blogging experience than a traditional blog.
Yeah, it is. For anyone who isn't a Tumblr user or even familiar with Tumblr, it kind of started out as like a alternative to these long-winded, all-about-me type of blogging. Not that that's the way that everybody used blogs, but I know that was the way that some things were going, that it was sort of had run out of innovation, I guess, at least to some folks. And so the idea of just having little snippets, you know, almost like a Twitter, but for a lot more of a multimedia kind of experience. You know, if you just have a couple sentences, you could post a text entry or just a photo with maybe just a little something. I like this photo because of this, or a link or a quote or a piece of audio or something like that. So Tumblr's been great for me. I've been using them happily for a few years now, and they've really grown my dashboard, which is the way that you can be friends with other Tumblr users and just kind of read everyone's update from within the dashboard rather than going to their unique URLs. Has really grown, and I've gotten introduced to a lot of folks that way. But I wouldn't say that I ever really considered an Android app to be the next. So I use the iPhone app for Tumblr, and I love it. But the Android app is like, I mean, I was just on Tumblr for a while last night, and maybe I'm not following all the right Android folks, but it seemed like there wasn't a lot of fanfare about it. And this is a really big deal. I mean, there's so many Android users, and I assume that a lot of them are either Tumblr users already or would really like the service.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I mean, I've really been following what's happening in the Android marketplace with all the apps. I think just a few weeks ago, they announced that they have more than 100,000 applications already. And it's funny to kind of watch it explode. I mean, it literally is exploding. We had the guys from Get Glue on a couple of weeks ago. They just released an Android app this week as well. And it almost seems like the Android apps are coming out so quickly, but the users themselves, you know, you almost can't catch up, right? Because there's so many new applications to choose from. But again, I'm a big fan of the Android phones. I'm playing with a phone called the Samsung Galaxy right now. I really, really like it. It's a really slick Android handset. And I will definitely download the Tumblr app. I'm not a big Tumblr user, but again, just fun to see all of these new applications become available for Android phone users as that market increases so quickly.
Absolutely. This Mashable article from Julie O'Dell, who alerted me that Tumblr for Android was here. She does say that the app is pretty buggy. So, you know, that's one of the issues that you know, people still have to realize is that some of this stuff isn't perfect. Tumblr iPhone app wasn't perfect at first either, but they've made it a lot better, and I'm sure the Android will be going the same way. So, you know, as long as people have opportunities to tumble wherever they want to, then that's a good thing, I think. Especially because the way that Tumblr works is it encourages kind of you've got a thought, put it up. You know?
Put it up really quickly. And I think you're right with some of the apps that come out. I remember I'm actually a big time BlackBerry user, and there are not a lot of apps for the BlackBerry, as I'm sure people know. And when the official Twitter app for the BlackBerry came out, I used it. It was very buggy. But I noticed, you know, with some of these apps, you almost have to just kind of stick with them. And hopefully over time, within a few weeks, they work out all the kinks and all the bugs. And the more people that are using them, the more pressure there is to kind of, you know, make them ideal for the end user. So that's one up, as long as it doesn't last. It's not buggy for too many weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And Sarah, so this story is kind of fun. We are both avid Twitter users. I think all the time, what would I do without Twitter?
I don't know, Amber.
Strange world.
We were talking about that last week, about waking up and looking at Twitter first thing in the morning before we even get out of bed or anything like that. It's like, it really has become this essential part of my routine. First thing in the morning and then throughout the day until it's probably the last thing I do before I go to bed. It's like, what has everyone said? Everyone who's still up kind of thing.
I know. You know, Sarah, it's so funny. I'm going to totally go off on a little tangent here before we get onto the Twitter tales.
Please do.
I'm almost cracking up when I'm talking to you because I'm having these visions because I never do tech shows really with other women because there just aren't that many. I mean, there's more.
What kind of visions?
No, not visions like that. But it's cracking me up because I'm imagining, you know, we've both been in this business for a while and I'm just imagining like later on in life we do a show like Cranky Geeks where we're like in our 60s and I don't know. It's for some reason I can't get this out of my head and how funny it would be. So I will stop getting distracted, but I just sort of picture us talking here and looking back at videos of us talking about, oh, Twitter, remember we were on there all the time.
I know. And well, it's funny because it's like, think about what we would be talking about in our 60s, because in 10 years, this conversation will seem very silly. Oh my gosh. Do you remember the Android, that whole Android operating system? And oh, they were so young. We were so young. First of all, I hope we're doing a podcast together when we're 60.
I hope so, too. I really hope so.
Really?
I don't think Twitter is going to be around, but they've been around longer than I thought they would be, to be honest with you. You know, I keep waiting every year to think, okay, well, what's going to be the next big thing? And Twitter keeps getting bigger and bigger. And with Twitter Tales, this is a really cool feature that they've launched on the site where you can submit your own story about how Twitter has done something influential in your life. And you can read other people's stories. It makes perfect sense because Twitter has really bridged connections for so many people.
I love the idea of Twitter Tales. In fact, I read the humor Twitter tale that's featured on tales.twitter.com is where you can see these today. And I loved it. And it really is clearly aiming to bring that personal human element to some of the people who you see tweeting that you don't know. And maybe their screen name doesn't make any sense to you, or you don't really know why they're interesting. And it's certainly bringing us into these folks and making them more of this really interesting person that you want to know more about, and here's what influences them, and here's some pictures and that kind of thing. And I think it's, especially with some of the recommendations I've been getting lately, I've been paying a lot more attention to people that I don't follow and I don't necessarily know, but other people that I know are following, or we have a certain amount of mutual friends. And sometimes when you go to their Twitter page, depending on their bio and depending on the link that they send you to their personal website, you either figure out who they are right away or you don't really learn all that much.
Yeah, no, I agree. Are you talking about the recommendations they make on Twitter now at the top right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm loving that. You know, I'm finding, you know, every time I turn up, I think, okay, Walt Mossberg, I wasn't following him. I think, oh, that's so cool. What a great suggestion. And I'm finding every day I'm discovering new people to follow. I think it's been really, really helpful. But I agree, you know, some of them are great and some of them are, you know, you just can't get that much information about who they are.
Yeah, there's one guy, I don't want to say his name because I think I'm a real idiot. He must, you know, be an actor or somebody in a in my space, because he's got a lot of followers and a lot of people that I know follow him. His bio is kind of, it's sort of meant to be vague, and he has no link to any personal website. I don't know who he is. So I look at it, you know, the first few pages of tweets, and I still don't know who he is. And so it's like, I wish I knew more. If he had a Twitter tale, I'd love to read that, because I would probably learn everything I needed to know and more, and it'd be put together in this really nice visual way. So maybe he'll be next.
Interesting. Yeah, how many followers does he have? Like, is he pretty...
Like 300,000.
Wow.
I know. Well, I'll tell you afterwards, but I'm embarrassed. I'm really embarrassed about it. And I purposely haven't looked him up on Google because it's like I'm trying to organically figure it out.
Oh, that's
You
so
know,
funny.
I don't want to cheat.
Oh, I would be on Google so fast.
I know. Did you find out the sex of your baby beforehand? Are you one of?
Oh yes,
yeah.
I'm
you wanted
people.
To know. Oh, yes. At the very first possible moment. See, I think that I would wait.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just different that way.
Yeah, that's funny. No, I found out. You know, it was one of those things. Chris and I thought, you know what? There's enough surprises with having a baby. The last thing I want to do is be like, okay, I think it's a girl. I think it's a boy. I think it's a girl. And then all of a sudden be like, oh my god, it's a girl. And I thought it was a boy. And there's so much happening. I like to just, you know, have all of the information I need. But I totally respect people. And I have a really good friend, and she said that one of the reasons that she didn't find out was because there are no true surprises in life. And this is, you know, an amazing surprise and gift. And she just was excited about that moment where they're like, oh, it's a boy or a girl. So I get the other side. I'm impatient and couldn't handle waiting.
Yeah, I hear you. Amber, should we take this opportunity to thank Audible for being one of our sponsors?
Yes,
let's do it. This was as good a time as any. Audible.com. You're an Audible user, Amber. How many audio books do you think you go through on a regular basis, or like monthly?
Well, I'm a little slow because what happens is I download audiobooks and then I listen to them, and then I have to listen to them again and again and again.
Because you're sort of multitasking and not listening.
I'm multitasking all the time, which is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it can be a good thing. But I'm just amazed at all of the great content that they have on Audible. There are so many cool books, and I wish I had time to consume more.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm now that I'm commuting up to Petaluma, it's the perfect time for me to sort of get more into the audio book, audio everything kind of situation, because I am a captive audience in my car, and I really don't have a whole lot of multitasking to do because I can't text and I can't email and I don't really like talking on the phone. So audiobooks are definitely the way to go for me. And audible.com, if you're not familiar, is pretty much the king of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles. You know, fiction, nonfiction, pretty much anything in between, periodicals. It's all there. In fact, I just started a book. I don't know if you've read this one, Amber. It's called Let the Great World Spin. It's this really interesting book about it's a fictional novel about a group of people living in New York City, but it's based on an actual event that happened where a Frenchman walked a tightrope between the Twin Towers in 1974. And that actually did happen. And so it's sort of based around that time and what these fictional characters were doing and how they got there. And it's great. And I'm liking it so much that I think I'm going to do a little experiment where I finish the book and then I listen to it as an audiobook and just kind of see how my imagination runs wild in a different way.
That sounds really cool. Wow.
Yeah, so, I know.
So you don't have the audiobook yet, but you're going to get it.
I am going to get it, and I can get it for free because if you're a listener of Net at Night, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. So if you go to audible.com/night, you can get your own audiobook for free. Again, fiction, nonfiction, or anything in between, 75,000 titles. I bet you find what you're looking for, and I bet you like Audible, and then you can sign up from there. So thanks again to them, audible.com/night.
Love it. Okay, so we should probably get our guest on.
I would say so.
Yeah, this is Gabriel Weinberg. He is the founder of a search engine called DuckDuckGo, and I keep wanting to call it Duck. What is it? DuckDuckGoose?
DuckGoose, yeah.
I can't get that out of my head. So we're going to have him on, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about how his search is different than some of the biggies.
Awesome. Gabriel, are you with us? I see him. We don't quite hear him yet. How about now, Gabriel?
Yep. Hello?
We hear you and we see you. Looking great.
Hi.
Looks like you got a diploma or something fancy behind you.
Lots of them.
It's just the way my desk is. I'm not used to video calls here.
No, you look great.
It looks great, yeah. So basically, Andy, who works with you, had sent me a link to DuckDuckGo. That's right? DuckDuckGo?
DuckDuckGo, yes.
Oh my gosh. Killing me. And I went and checked out the site and did a couple searches, and it's really fun. I mean, it's a different type of search engine. So why don't you describe a little bit about what it's about and how you came up with the idea?
Sure. I mean, it's a general search engine. So the idea is you'd replace, you know, your daily Google use with it. You can start it as your homepage or, you know, whatever you do. It does a number of things different. So the main difference is that I'm trying to make the results pages more readable and understandable. So the first thing you'll notice that if you search for something at the very top, you'll see like this red box and it'll define what you're searching for, which I call zero click info, where you get information about your terms in zero clicks. So hopefully if it's good information, you don't have to click on any links whatsoever. And then other things like that are like I label the official site and put it on top and give you related topics to allow you to browse other things and explore things that are directly related to your search and other sort of cool features like that sprinkled in.
Gabriel, I know that you also tout DuckDuckGo as a great way to not be unintentionally sending information to folks who you might not want to be sending your information to. Explain a little bit about how DuckDuckGo keeps your browsing private.
Yes, this is a whole another aspect of the service. So it's great as a standalone search engine and everything, but if you care about privacy, it really shines there. So if you go to Google now, they track you in a number of ways. So when you search at Google, they know you're coming from your computer because of your IP address and other browser information. Mm-hmm. DuckDuckGo doesn't store any of that whatsoever, even in our server logs. And then also when you go to Google and you click on a link, most people don't realize this, but your search is actually transferred to the site that you clicked on. So if you search for something private and you click on a result, the webmasters and all the people involved in that other site actually know what you searched for. At DuckDuckGo, we block all that. So we redirect it in such a way that your search is not shared. I've termed that like search leakage.
Good name for it. Now, as far as the number of people who are using the search engine DuckDuckGo right now, what are your numbers like? Has it grown? Because it's not brand new. I mean, it's been around for a little while.
Yeah, so I soft launched this like a couple years ago and I haven't really marketed or promoted that much. It's all been self-funded. And so it's sort of slowly grown over time. And I've been lucky to have like a word of mouth kind of thing going. And so the last month we had about 1.5 million searches and that's up from just a million a few months ago. So it's going pretty fast lately.
And are you is this a full-time gig for you?
Yep. I was lucky enough to sell my last company a few years ago. And so I've been, you know, working on this full-time for a few years now and, you know, I love it. So I'm going to keep doing it indefinitely.
Gabriel, I love if you go to duckduckgo.com, you'll get what seems to be a very Google-esque, simple, hey, enter your search term here. But if you go to the goodies section, there's all sorts of cool extras that DuckDuckGo puts to good use, like a bunch of different tools, certain search strings that you can incorporate in order to get the search result that you're looking for a little bit, rather than just putting in a vanity search of my name and seeing how many things come up kind of thing. Keyboard shortcuts, because some folks I feel are keyboard shortcut folks and others aren't, but the ones that are really, really like the stuff and they want to be able to incorporate it. How much work went into, all these tools and being able to search ISBN numbers and all this stuff? It really seems like you put a lot of work into making DuckDuckGo unique in this way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so I'm a programmer myself, obviously. I mean, I do everything on the site. And so these kind of stuff like keyboard shortcuts, you know, searching IP addresses and ISBN numbers and stuff like that is, you know, important to me. I use it every day. So I like adding those things. And then because of that, all these other people write in feedback all the time. And on every search result page, there's actually a feedback button in the bottom right. And I get all sorts of requests. And I try to, you know, when I can, do them. Yeah, they take a bit of work, but then it's sort of fun and everyone can use. I mean, the goodies page is just expanded and expanded over time. If you look on the bottom right of it, there's all this stuff from Wolfram Alpha now. And Wolfram Alpha is like this cool service. I'm sure you guys know about it. But it returns all these answers now from there. And you can get all sorts of stuff from like calories information to like, you know, like the mass of the moon I'm seeing on your screenshot now.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Wolfram Alpha hasn't gotten a lot of love lately. I haven't heard a lot about Wolfram Alpha. So at least you're making good use of it. I can't wait to use some of this stuff.
I think
stuff.
With Wolfram Alpha is like it has like so much cool information, but like you never think to go there, you know?
Yeah, why is that?
You're right.
But like if it's integrated into the search engine and you're already searching, it just comes up. I think that makes a good use of their API.
I always know a tool is kind of cool, and I think Leo does the same thing. I'm sure you do, Sarah, as well, is when the guest is talking and I find myself like lost in the site, which is happening to me right now. I'm exploring all the different features and functionality. So as far as making money from the site, what's your plan? I know you sold your last company for quite a good sum. As far as your plans to make money from DuckDuckGo, is it something that you envision will be profitable and be around for a while?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I want it to be self-sustaining for sure. I've experimented a bit with search ads, and that's probably where it's going. But like one of the reasons I started it was to really reduce the advertising on the search engines because I felt it's sort of getting out of control with like search ads above results and stuff. So no matter what I do, I'm going to try to keep it minimalistic and unobtrusive. And if I can just stay lean, then that should be enough to be profitable.
Cool.
Well, good luck.
I love the little add to Chrome button. Gabriel, I have committed to using DuckDuckGo as my primary search engine for the next week. And if I like it, I'm going to stick with it because I like using new stuff that does things differently.
DuckDuckGo challenge.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like a good one.
And it's worth mentioning for anybody, Amber, I know you were getting caught up on the name at first. DuckDuckGo is DuckDuckGo. D-U-K-G-O. Is also a way to use DuckDuckGo, and it's less characters than Google.com. So
that's
if there was
know.
Anybody who's saying this is a little too long for me, I'm not going to remember the name, then you have other options as well.
It's funny because it's sort of derived from DuckDuckGoose, and everyone who sort of grew up in the United States realizes that, but about half the users are international, and they're just like, what the hell is up with that name? No idea what DuckDuckGoose was at all.
DuckDuckGoose isn't an international game. My goodness, it's the most fun you'll ever have. We've got to introduce DuckDuckGo to the rest of the world. Maybe we'll just start with DuckDuckGo.
We'll start slowly.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Gabriel.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's Gabriel Weinberg, founder of DuckDuckGo. Yes, good luck to him. Amber, should we take this moment to thank Hover for being our next sponsor? I want to make sure we don't run out of time. So Hover is, this episode, of course, is the URL for Hover is www.knight.hover.com. But if you're not familiar with Hover, it's all about making domain registration and service simple, because I'm sure Amber and I are not alone in having several different domains. And sometimes the services that go along with registering domains and, you know, you want certain DNS extras and it all gets very complicated. And a lot of these sites, we won't mention who, tend to try to add on a lot of other stuff that you don't need. And they they have a way of confusing you into maybe thinking that you need it because you don't really know how some of this stuff works. So if you're interested in buying a domain and you want to keep it simple, that's what Hover does well. They make it easy to register and manage domains. They used to be called Domain Direct. That's been around since 1997. So this isn't just a new company who's like experimenting. They definitely know what they're doing. They have a big help resource area of their website that's full of how-tos and videos. And if you're the kind of person who wants to know more about all of the ins and outs of domain management and how this kind of the inner workings of this is put together, then this is a good place to go because they can teach you about managing and forwarding and transferring domains and email and CNAMEs and all that weird stuff. And
yeah,
they have
so much good stuff there.
Yeah, really. And that's the sort of thing where it's like, if you want to know about it, then a good tutorial video, that's all I'm ever looking for.
And I think, you know, especially with people registering domain names, my experience has been anytime I send them somewhere, they ask, okay, well, do I need all these things? They get very confused and it's more complex than it has to be. And the one thing I will say about Hover, and I know all the guys who actually run this service and I've worked with them before, they really know how to make this process simple. And the best thing is that when you actually call up Hover or email, you will get someone who will respond to you very quickly to help you out with the whole process of registering a domain name or transferring your name. So if you want, if customer support is really important to you, and it should be, then Hover is a great option for you.
So cool. So you get live support, there's help and how-to videos, and beyond all of that, they're trying their very best to make it so simple that you will understand it right off the bat anyway. So Hover sounds like a great great option for you if you are looking to register a domain or learn a little bit about domain management and the world of DNS. Then try www.knight.hover.com. And if you want to register through us, you'll get 10% off your new domain. So if you've got a domain in mind, now's the time. All right.
Okay, so Sarah, maybe we should just get into our video of the week.
I know
there's another show coming up.
Yeah, we're at the end of our hour. How does this go so fast? It's because we're having a good time.
I know, and I always tell Leo this. I love there being a hard stop because I think it makes us focus things a little bit better.
I agree with you.
For the listeners, it's much better just to, you know, keep powering through everything. Okay, so our video of the week, I was really excited about this. We've talked about the Facebook movie trailer before on the show, and we've actually interviewed the writer of The Accidental Billionaires and one of the producers of the Facebook movie coming out, The Social Network, and that trailer was awesome. You know, they have a song, I think it's by Creep, and I watched it over and over again, but I could not stop laughing last week when this parody of the Social Network trailer came out online, the Twitter movie. It's a lot of fun, and for anyone who is obsessed with Twitter and uses it all the time or hates it, whatever you think about Twitter, this video will make you laugh. All
right. I don't care if it was, I wanna tweet it all. I tweet on my body. I tweet in the snow. I want you to reach me.
Create a way to blog that is as random and incoherent as writing on a bathroom wall.
Why?
Because normal blogging is tedious and dumb and leads to fully formed ideas. People want to have narcissistic conversations with total strangers about the everyday minutiae of their lives. Why not build them a service that does that?
Twitter restricts you to only 140 words per post?
Characters. 140 characters.
They're saying that Twitter is nothing but a bunch of idiots and celebrities talking about what they had for breakfast.
I know what it says.
Is it true?
The fail whale is showing up.
What? No, what is the fail whale? Why do you always go limp when we have fights?
If you put a TW in front of any word, it makes it infinitely cool. Check this out. Hey, can I get a Twisky? I didn't ask for twatter.
If Twitter was as useless and as boring as they say, then somebody would have tweeted it.
Your retweets could have seriously confused all of my followers.
Our followers!
You're being accused of intentionally dumbing down the internet.
Hashtags!
And enabling individuals to annoy their friends without any consequences.
Call 911!
Do they have a Twitter?
As for the charges, I would like to respond with the next public tweet. The baby just pooped. Hashtag turd alert.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
I don't understand. What you just said is completely idiotic.
Exactly. That's the point.
Rated awesome.
That's the end of the video.
Everyone,
there's just a little ad at the end.
This episode of
a whole different kind of twit network, Amber.
I know. Isn't that funny? I wonder if Leo's seen that yet.
Yeah. So we all sort of good-naturedly mumbled and grumbled about it. You know, it's funny. We were talking about Tumblr earlier. When I first saw this video, I went, oh, that's David Karp playing the part of the Twitter figurehead. But it's not. Yeah. It's just, he looks a lot like him.
Yeah, I know. I thought it looked like a lot like Kevin, too. It kind of freaked me out.
I think maybe it's like a similar founder haircut type of a thing.
It might be.
Because I'm like, David Karp, Kevin Rose, yeah.
I don't know. He looks like someone. He does. I noticed the same thing. It's pretty hilarious. And Shira Lazar was in there just briefly, too. I don't know if you know her, but she
was. I've met
her
a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
It's a cute video.
It's very funny. Yeah. Good work. Some of the people in the chat room are saying, we've seen that before. Well, yeah, but that's what we like. We like to talk about the fun videos that people have seen and have something to say on that at night. So, Amber, I guess this is the end of our line.
I know. This is it, Sarah. All right. Well,
try not
good
to cry.
Chatting with you again.
Yeah, good chatting with you, too. Always fun to do the show in Leo's absence with you. So anytime you guys want to have me back, I will be here.
We will.
Leo will be back next week for episode 165. Until then, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Amber. See you guys next week.